Last week, John Duble came back from his training with Youth for Christ and was sharing some with us, and he shared with me the story about the end of his time there in his training session in Indiana. They had, a banquet type thing where they got together, and they told him they could dress up if they wanted to or whatever the case might be. And it's interesting how John reported to me that certain group of people, a small number of them, dressed up, and you got to know John doesn't dress up, but I mean better than jeans and a t-shirt maybe. But there was a small group that kind of dressed up a little bit more, and there were people in the same group of a little over 100 people wearing togas for fun, of course. But my point was, these were a group of people who had come together of like mind, all having a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, all committed to the same ministry, a little bit different areas of the same ministry, but still to the same ministry with Youth for Christ. But you know what? One discovered quickly, and I think John was the one that communicated obviously to me about this, that a lot of the difference in dress had a good bit to do with age. And it had some to do with attitude. And here I'm not talking about necessarily a bad or good attitude, just a different attitude. We see this reflected, I believe, in the church. We see it reflected in the different styles that people have. Did you know? I know this is a revelation to you. Did you know that different people have different choices in music? Wow, I know that flabbergasted you. Yeah, we don't do worship wars here. And those of you visiting, in case you didn't know, we don't do worship wars here. You know, we're pretty traditional today. Matter of fact, wow. I got some friends that would come here if we do this all the time. I'm only kidding. More traditional than normal. I loved it. But guess what? I love it when it's not more traditional than it is contemporary. It's just not about the style of music. But you have a style and I have a style. Well, guess what? Newsflash, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your style is or my style is. All it is it worship that lifts our hearts toward the God whom we worship, and is it a sweet and pleasing aroma to Him? Well, back to the styles and the choices of different styles. People can dress differently. People can have different choices in styles and still be of one heart and one mind. And John's banquet he was attending was an indicator of that. Last week, we talked about the garments of grace in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. About the garments of grace that we are all to put on. Everyone in the body of Christ. Individually, we are to clothe ourselves in those garments of grace. Such as compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. And beyond all these things, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. These are garments of grace that we talked about, that we are required as individuals to put on, but also as we put them on individually, guess what? That will be reflected in the body of Christ. So as the members and the people who are part of Northwood Community put on these garments of grace, Northwood Community is going to be reflecting these garments of grace in the way they are, in the way they act. Why? Because the individuals that make up the body have put these things on. In other words, we must dress for success. Woo! Hear me out, though. For the success of the body. We dress in those garments, but the body of Christ may be all that God intends it to be. Once again, it requires us to appropriate God's grace, God's divine, unmerited enablement. We've talked week after week about this thing called grace, this unmerited favor of God that allows us to be saved from our sin and to have eternal life, but also this unmerited favor of God that is given to us daily to sustain us and to give us all that we need to enable us to live the Christian life. So we must appropriate God's divine, unmerited enablement in order to dress appropriately. Therefore, according to Colossians 3, we will continue in chapter 3, beginning in verse 15 today. According to verses 15 through 17 of Colossians 3, the following will be found in a body of believers that is appropriating God's grace. If we individually are appropriating God's grace in our lives, this is what's going to be seen in the corporate body. And I might add, this is what God wants to be seen. This is what God wants to reflect to the world around us. Reading. I'll read Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. Invite you to join along as I read. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. These will be seen in a body that is appropriating God's grace. Number one, grateful hearts that are ruled by God's peace. Grateful hearts that are ruled by God's peace. What does he say? Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule. What does he mean? Let the peace of Christ be the arbiter or the umpire in your hearts. What did he do? The arbiter, the umpire. He settled things in disputes when differences threatened to spring up. In a body, the peace of Christ must be accepted to rule and to reign as the arbiter in that situation. Strife, folks, F.F. Bruce says, strife inevitably results when men and women are out of touch with Him who is the one source of true peace. There's no peace between you and anyone else. And he's talking about the body here. There's no peace in the body if there's not peace in the individual hearts. Because the individual hearts and lives make up the body. You know, if your foot and your leg are fighting one another all the time, it's going to be tough. If your hand keeps slapping your cheek, it's going to be tough. But the peace must be reigning within the individual for the peace to rule in the body corporately. It begins with establishing peace with God. Romans 5:1 talks about that. It begins with, first of all, establishing peace with God. Did you know we were at enmity, at strife, at conflict with God, and we were His very enemies? And peace was established when we said yes to Jesus, who shed His blood on the cross as a sacrifice for us. Then we have peace with God. There's no longer fighting between us. We have the peace with God. And that's where it begins. No one can experience the peace of God if they haven't, first of all, experienced peace with God through trusting in Christ for salvation. Then we can, after experiencing peace with God and trusting in Christ, we can go on to experience the peace of God, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's a fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces inside of the believer who yields to Him. That's it. And I know of people who profess Christ who don't have peace. And I'm sure you do too. And you might be one of those. And it's simply because you're not yielding to the Spirit of God who lives within you, who wants to reign within your heart and your life and to direct you, your life, so that you might experience peace. Jesus said in John 16:33, about the peace that we could have in Him when He says this. All these things I have spoken to you, so that you may, in me, you may have peace. Not anxiety, not worry, but peace. Not turmoil, but peace. In the world, He goes on to say, you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that in me you can have peace. You can experience the peace of God in your daily life in the midst of a world that knows anything but peace. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of bickering. There's a lot of fighting. But in the midst of this world and all its noise and all its turmoil, you can experience peace in me, Jesus says, through yielding to my Spirit who lives within you. And we learn from Paul in Philippians 4:6-7, that we are not to be anxious for anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he goes on to say that beautiful part, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and protect your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God can guard and protect our hearts and our minds, and the peace of God can garrison, is what that word means, garrison or protect our hearts and our minds and keep out all the anxiety and all the worry. Keep it at bay. Now, there's not a person in this room that can tell me they don't worry and they haven't been anxious at some time. But I know some people that seem to be riddled with anxiety all the time. You know, it doesn't matter what. Whatever comes up that they can't control, they worry. And we all know that supposedly 95% of the things we can become anxious and worry about never happen anyway. The other 5% we can't control either. So what do we worry? I love it. Be anxious for nothing. And that's what we're usually anxious for, nothing. And the choice is, I can experience the peace of God, or I can experience anxiety. You know, and I don't know, last time I checked, the anxiety and worry and all that good stuff still had adverse effects upon your health. So I haven't yet found anything good about worry and anxiety, but I've found a whole lot of good stuff about peace. And it's a choice. It's a choice. Someone has said that peace rules the day when Christ rules the mind. What rules your day? Peace or anxiety? Well, I can tell you, it depends on who rules your mind. Are you yielded to Christ to bring into your life peace? We were called to this. What we were called to? We were called to let peace of Christ rule. He said, into which indeed you were called in one body. We were called to this as a body of Christ. To let the peace of Christ rule and to be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Grateful hearts that are ruled by God's peace. They go together. F.F. Bruce also says, Christian behavior can be expressed as a response of gratitude to the grace of God. A response of gratitude to the grace and unmerited favor of God extended to us for salvation and daily for our sufficiency. If we enjoy the peace of God in our lives, we can't help but be thankful, folks. Everett Harrison says, a thankful Christian is much easier to get along with. He's talking about the context of the body and peace within the body. You think about that for a second. Yeah, thankful people are much easier to get along with. I have about that much tolerance for ingratitude. That's why I sometimes cower under God, because I'm not as grateful as I need to be. I don't know how. It's beyond me and my little finite brain how anyone could live the way we live today and not be grateful. Especially when I listen to the news and I turn on the TV or read the newspaper accounts of what's going on throughout the world. And we're fat and sassy, folks. We got way beyond what most people have. Not to mention that we have certainly, if we have breath, that's more than we deserve. So it's all about grace. And a response to the grace of God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Not only do I have breath, not only do I have spiritual life, but I have all these needs met. Oh, beyond it, Lord, thank you for the luxuries I have. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. We should be grateful for what we have by the grace of God, rather than complaining about what we do not have. The question is, who is the umpire in your heart? Peace and gratitude, or complaining and anxiety? Wow. Good question you ask, Pastor. Well, I ask it for a reason, because I want you to determine right now, in your own heart of hearts, who's ruling in your life? Where the Spirit of the Lord rules, there is peace. And I believe in, added to that, there's peace and an attitude of unending gratitude. Is that the case with you? May it be, to the glory of our God. But also we see a body that's appropriating the grace of God. What will you find? You'll find grateful hearts that apply God's word through ministry to one another. Grateful hearts that apply God's word through ministry to one another. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ, let the word of God, let the words, the scriptures dwell within you. Let them abide in you. Jesus talks about that. Letting the word abide in you. You abiding in the word and the word abiding in you. It means to feel at home in you. To settle down in your life. We talked about in Adult Bible Fellowship this morning about meditating upon the scriptures. Allowing the word to dwell in your heart. Not just to read it and run about your way. But to let it soak it up. Let it become a part of your being. Then it'll make a difference in your life. And that's what he's talking about. Let the word dwell richly within you as individuals and as a corporate body. What does it mean? It means to receive the word and mix it with faith and translate it into action. The word receive by faith and translate it into action in the everyday life. Not just reading, but allowing the word to be in you such that it makes a difference in how you live and how you act and what you do. And in this case, as you allow the word of God to dwell within you, what takes place if the body is allowing the word of God to dwell within them, to settle down in their hearts and in the lives of the people in the body, what will result will be teaching. Teaching one another. Positive instruction he's talking about here. positively instructing one another in the Word of God, admonishing one another. That has the idea of correcting one another. Yes, that's part of the deal, folks. That's what you signed up for when you said yes to Jesus. You became part of a body that will teach one another, but also admonish one another. He goes on to say, with all wisdom. So it's with wisdom, we're tactfully sharing with one another. It's not that I'm admonishing you, brother, and jumping all over your case, but I'm approaching you as one sinner to another sinner. I just care about you enough to let you know that what you're doing needs to change. But I do it tactfully with wisdom and discernment from God. Sharing with you what is appropriate for the moment. There are times that you got to be careful. You got to speak the word that's appropriate for the moment. And know what's going on in the life and the heart of the person that you're talking to. And with grace, you're approaching them. The word is profitable for reproof, for training in righteousness, etc. That the word, that the man of God may be thoroughly, completely equipped. That's what we want. And that's what happens in the body. We share the word. As the word dwells in us, we share it with one another so that we might become complete in Christ and be all that God's called us to be. I need you. You need me. You need the person sitting next to you. But individually, we need to be allowing the Word to dwell within us so that we might be able to share the Word with one another for the purpose of edifying one another. He goes on to say, through singing. Uh-oh. Hold on for a minute. Don't lose me yet. He said, the pastor's going to start singing to me? I'm leaving. With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We are to have grateful hearts, and through the gratitude that we have, we're to express that by ministering one to another. Through singing, through psalms, through hymns and spiritual songs out of or with grace. And if you look at verse 16, the best way, the most accurate way to read this is singing with grace in your hearts. Now, many translators have put thankfulness in there, and you could say, well, because it's in verse 15 and verse 17, and it does fit in. But it's more accurately grace. But the two go together, folks. It's because I have grace of God working within my heart. The unmerited favor of God makes me grateful. Therefore, I can sing with gratitude. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I thank you for the grace that I've experienced. Out of gratitude for God's grace, we minister one to another. I don't know about you, but last week when we looked at the film, The Forbidden Book, it made a pretty big impression upon my heart once again of how ungrateful I can be for the Word of God, how I can take the Word of God for granted when I look at the lives of people, the people who gave their very lives and many who risked their lives in order to protect the Scriptures. Simply to get the Bible in English language so I could understand it, because I don't know if I'll ever learn another language. Well, I learned a little Greek and Hebrew, but not fluently speaking it, folks. Only for the purpose of studying the Word. But I don't know about you, but if you don't know another language, you should appreciate the fact that you have the Bible in English language. And if you don't know, people gave their lives so you could have that prerogative and that privilege. And yet, we take it for granted. Why? Because we have a Bible. Anytime we want it, we have it in our cars. If we want to plug it in, we can listen to it. Anywhere and everywhere we are, we can have the Word of God. And there are people living lives that are in persecution daily, forbidden to ever read the Word of God. And how are they living? Because they've hidden God's Word in their heart when they had access to it. And they would kill. Although they wouldn't kill, but they would do anything to get a copy of the Word of God. And they sit on our shelves in our rooms and collect dust. But out of gratitude for the fact that I have the Word of God, the forbidden book, then I commit myself to taking time to read, to study, to meditate upon the Word, to memorize the Word, in order for the Word to dwell richly within me. And therefore, it'll get out of me into you. Because I will minister to you, you will minister to me out of the overflow of our hearts when the Word of God dwells within us richly. So we see that the body that is appropriating the grace of God, you'll find grateful hearts that are ruled by God's peace, grateful hearts that apply God's Word through ministry to one another, but also grateful hearts that sing praise to God while seeking to honor Him. Grateful hearts that sing praise to God while seeking to honor Him. The Word in my heart results in a song on my lips. He's talking here about in verse 17, 16 and 17, the last part of 16, an outward expression of the inner experience of God's grace. Because he says here, with thankfulness, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, you're expressing what's happening inside your life. You're letting it out. You're so grateful for the grace of God that you can't help but sing. Have you ever been those times where you were just bubbling over? You couldn't help but sing? You didn't care who was around? We become so intimidated by people around us, and some of us cannot sing very well. He's not talking about the manner in which you sing. He's talking about the heart with which you sing. In this case, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let it out. How could you not let it out when you have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, when you've experienced the grace of God and you continue to experience the grace of God and you wake up every morning, "Ooh, I got breath today, hallelujah. I got shelter over my head, hallelujah. Whoa, that was a great breakfast. I'm looking forward to lunch and dinner." And I was going to use cars for an example, but sometimes we get in them and they don't run. But when they do run, are we grateful? It's a 1993, but it gets me where I want to go. And it's never stranded me, praise God. Psalm 107:2 says that we are 22 says that we are to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works. Tell of His works. What are His works? Works of grace. We're to tell people about it. We're to be so overwhelmed with it that we can't help but tell people about it. Ephesians 5:18, you know what it says? It's a command to be filled with the Spirit, which means to be controlled by, to be continually controlled by the Spirit of God. It's a command, folks. It's not an option. And when you and I are continually controlled by the Spirit of God, what does it say will happen? He goes on to say, one of the things is that we will be singing and giving thanks for all things. There is that attitude of gratitude that comes from being controlled by the Spirit of God. He produces within us an attitude of gratitude that's expressed with thankfulness to God for all things, with singing, with joy in your hearts. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit of God produces. He doesn't produce anxiety. He doesn't produce that rotten, stinking, complaining attitude that we get stuck with sometimes. Don't blame Him for it, please. He'll have no part of it. That's you and that's me. That's the choice we make. I'm yielding to the Spirit who will give me a grateful heart, and therefore I will be singing praise to God. I will be seeking to honor God no matter what the circumstances are. How about Paul and Silas? Pretty easy circumstances, wasn't it? Absolutely not. Thrown into prison. Slapped in there. Mistreated. Used and abused. And what did they do? They started singing, "Hallelujah, praise God." Okay? Did they have the same God you and I have? Yes, He's not new. They just responded to the God who enabled them to have breath. And with gratitude, they lifted their hearts in praise to Him. Why? Because they wanted to honor God. They wanted to honor God. I will praise Him in the storm, casting crowns. Right? Not just when it's beautiful outside. And not just praise Him in the storm because it's going to water my lawn. I'll praise Him in the storms of life, even when it's nothing but storms. I'm not there yet, but all I'm telling you is you and I need to get there. I'm trying to get there. I'm moving in that direction to where I can praise God more, even in the midst of storms, but we're all in process, right, growing. And I'm just pointing toward the goal, and I'm inviting you to run toward that goal with me and to quit making excuses. Yeah, but look at this, look at that. No, not look at that. Look at the fact that I have everything I need in Christ and more. And have an attitude of gratitude. Because of my gratitude and desire to honor God in all of my life, I can follow 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I desire to honor Him and glorify Him. Therefore, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to sing praises in my heart to God, even in the midst of the adverse circumstances. Why? Because of His grace at work in my life. An attitude of gratitude must accompany, permeate, and motivate every ounce of our life. That's the bottom line. That's what He's saying. Whatever you do, verse 17, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Everything we are to do should be done in, out of gratitude to God and giving thanks to Him. And I don't care how well you sing. He's really not talking about the quality of your voice, and He's not even just talking about the outward. He's talking about singing in your hearts. Did you read that? Is there a song in your heart today? If you've experienced the grace of God and you continue to experience the grace of God on a daily basis, there better be a song in your heart. Guess what? If not, you are not experiencing the grace of God. I'll tell you this, you certainly are not yielding to the Spirit of God in your daily life. He will make you grateful. He will put joy in your heart, and you'll want to sing. I'm not talking about some giddy thing that just is superficial. I'm talking about genuine, sincere gratitude to God that looks at life with gratitude and responds with gratitude. If we're controlled by the Spirit of God and filled with gratitude, we will sing in our hearts to the Lord. That song of gratitude in the heart will be revealed in an individual life. It doesn't take long to find out. And it'll be revealed in a body. If we're made up of a bunch of people that are not grateful, guess what? We're not going to be the body of Christ that God has called us to be. And people will step in here. And we have some visitors here today. And they'll be able to look around. If not today, they'll find out soon enough. Those people aren't very grateful. But we will reflect Christ and we will honor our God if we are filled and controlled by His Spirit and therefore grateful for what we have by the grace of God. And therefore, it will show in the way we live our lives. It all depends on who controls us. Who's the umpire? Who's the one calling the shots? You, your flesh, or the Spirit of God living in you? Chuck Swindoll says, a Spirit-filled saint is a song-filled saint. Now he goes on to say, when God works in your heart and you're grateful, sing. He said, and keep on singing. It doesn't matter who hears and what they think. And he does it. Saw it firsthand a number of years ago when I went to his church to a conference our Evangelical Free Church had at the church he pastored in California at the time. And I kept looking over. I got in late, and I was sitting over on the side over here. And the guy on the very front row at that time, about 60 years old. He was just, he was bouncing and moving about. You know, wasn't anything totally weird, but he was just bouncing. And he was just happy as you could be. And he was singing out. And the next thing I know, one of the guys looked down and said, "Isn't that right, Chuck?" Chuck Swindoll. And I thought, man, if he can let it out like that, I can too. Of course, he was the pastor of the church, and I guess people loved him there and they accepted him there. Well, guess what? I feel loved and accepted, so I'm going to let it out too. I moved up on the last row over here during singing and the last two or three songs, and I thought, okay, I hope I don't throw these people off around me. Did it bother any of you? Be honest. Okay, good. But I sing pretty loud when I sing now. I used to do like this because I was a little concerned because I can't sing very well. I was played sports. They didn't give me any money for music lessons. It was sports, not music. But the point is, folks, there's a song in your heart. Let it out. I don't think you can keep it in. I really don't. I know there are people that sit and, if you're one of those, you can talk to me in private afterwards, who can stand in a worship service, lifting our hearts and praise to God, thinking about being well with my soul, thinking about the peace I have, thinking about the time to come into your presence to worship you, how great you are, whatever it might be, how we can do that and not sing a little bit. And I would say accompanied with that is a little smile once in a while. But I see people sometimes that frown and just don't do a thing. And if your heart's not moved to sing praise to God, something's wrong with it. How about us? How about you? How about us as a body? Are we a body of grateful hearts that are ruled by God's peace? Are we a body with grateful hearts that apply God's word through ministry to one another? Are we a body that has grateful hearts that sing praise to God while seeking to honor Him above all else? Do these traits characterize or describe you? Do they describe us? They should. They don't describe you. Get busy and come before your God and allow Him to do the work and ask Him to do the work. Yield to Him and allow Him to do the work so that those may characterize your life. And pray that they will characterize this body of believers known as Northwood Community Church. Otherwise, we're not pleasing to Him. I love what Vance Havner says, one of the most quoted pastors of all time. The whole Christian life is one big thank you. The living expression of our gratitude to God for His goodness and His grace. But we take Him all too often for granted. And whatever we take for granted, we never take very seriously. Let's not take Him for granted. Let's take Him seriously. And let's give thanks with grateful hearts. Father, thank You. Thank You so much that we have the opportunity to come into Your presence to worship, to celebrate, and yes, to give thanks. Father, if there's any one of us sitting here who is not grateful today, I pray right now Your Spirit would move in a very powerful and specific way upon each heart that is ungrateful. And overwhelm us, Lord, with the things that we have to be grateful for from Your hand. And as You do that work, Father, in our individual hearts, I pray that You would work within our body to make us a grateful people that live as if we're grateful, allowing Your peace to rule and ministering one to another and giving thanks through song in the midst of the toughest storms of life. To Your honor and Your glory, make it happen through Christ our Lord.